Here's Tom Ezern with this week's Plainsfolk essay.
The first newspaper notice of the city of Saginaw, the railway hunting coach of outdoorsman and author William B. Mershon, is in the Fargo Argus of 6th of September, 1883, described as plainly but elegantly fitted up. The Saginaw carried 19 hunters, their dogs, and equipment. Dogs and guns were to be seen everywhere, writes the reporter. The coach seemed a hunter's perfect paradise. Mershon, in his memoir, Reflections of My 50 Years Hunting and Fishing, recounts that in 1883 he and some friends bought a circus car at a sheriff's sale in Saginaw, Michigan, and converted it for their hunting headquarters on the rails. It had 12 berths, a kitchen, an observation and dining room, storage, and an icebox. Mershon calls the city of Saginaw a thing of joy. A chapter in his memoir is entitled The Old Hunting Car. And the following chapter is called Hunting at Dawson. For Dawson, Dakota Territory was his favorite destination from 1883 to 1899. As it is today, the territory around Dawson was renowned for its waterfowl, especially geese, which lingered to feed in wheat stubble and loitered on nearby glacial lakes. Mershon describes the opportunities for hunters. The geese fed twice a day. They came into the stubble at daylight and fed until 10 or 11 o'clock and then returned to the lake. They came in again between 3 and 4 o'clock and fed until dark. On gray days, the geese might fly all day. We used to get tremendous bags of geese, writes Mershon, Canadian honkers, greater and lesser, but also snows and white fronts, a party commonly shooting 50 or 60 in a day. One day, 165. The sportsman recalls, we frequently brought home to Saginaw, as shown in the 1883 photo I have written about previously, 300 or more geese, and our friends flocked to the car to share in our bag. These wheat-fed young geese were very highly considered for the table. The method of the hunters, transported locally by men with wagons and mules, was to scout feeding geese in the stubble fields early in the morning, and then on their departure, look over the ground, examining feathers and droppings to determine whether the field was being habitually used. If so, they sunk pits, a hard bit of work, one for each shooter. The fresh earth was spread and then covered with straw. In a group of pits, the man in the center called the shots. Near the pits, they set metal profile or silhouette decoys, and the geese decoyed readily. Most of the hunters packed double-barreled 10 gauges, hurling 1.5 ounces of number 2 shot. Mershon, I think, was a bit of a show-off, who hunted with a 16-gauge and 7/8-ounce loads. The hunters, coming back to Dawson from the stubble, delighted in the long light of the Dakota dusk. Mershon describes one frosty evening when, in the back of the wagon, they thrust their feet and legs into the pile of geese for warmth, singing and telling stories. Once back to town, they drew the birds, then played cards into the night. Those were the great old days, writes Mershon, the days of the hunting car. We had not at the time begun to appreciate that the game was disappearing. A recollection of 1883 is, however, perhaps weighty. During that expedition, he was served a supper of buffalo hump. The old hunter writes, "The last piece of wild buffalo I ever ate."
Tom Ezern is a distinguished professor of history at NDSU. You can find his Plainsfolk essays and all of our podcasts at prairiepublic.org.